Chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet, behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. We trust the Lord will add his own blessing to this reading of his word for his name's sake. Tonight we're going to particularly consider verse 38, at least three words out of that verse, as our text, where it says very simply, at his feet. At his feet. I would like for us to consider this subject, our rightful place. Our rightful place. With the word of God open before us, let's turn our hearts to him in prayer. And let's all seek him that he might meet with us in his word. Our Father and our God, we are so glad that there is for us now no condemnation, that we dread nothing from thy hand. Lord, we're thankful that now what we receive from thee is love divine. Lord, grace abounding. And Lord, help for our souls. Lord, we do pray this night that thou wilt take our thanks for the work that thou hast done for us through Christ. Lord, we come to thee tonight and we desire a further work. We desire a work, O Lord, by the Spirit of God that draws our hearts out after thyself, that instills within us a deeper desire even yet to walk with thee, to love thee, to know thee. Lord, I would pray that thou wilt now bless us as we look in thy word. I pray, O God, that thou wilt allow thy Spirit to take the words of thy Holy Scripture and use them mightily within us to encourage us with our Savior. Lord, do bless us and help us. Do come and meet with us. And Lord, I pray that thou wilt help me as thy servant. I pray, O God, that thy Spirit would rest upon my own heart. O Lord, direct thought and word. May only those things that glorify Christ be heard in this place tonight. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt then take us on with him for the glory that is due to his name. Lord, bless us now, we ask. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I'd like to begin this evening by asking a question. What is your place? What is your place? By that I mean, where is it that you find yourself most at home? Where is it that you find yourself most at peace? Where is it that you find yourself most useful? Well, for most of us, as we would contemplate that, we would probably give the answer, well, that's with our family. It's among those that we love in our home. And I think that that is a right answer. That is our place. That is the place where the Lord has placed us in His providence. And we are to feel, indeed, that that is our place. But let's take the question to a different plane, and that is the spiritual plane. What is your spiritual place? What place is it that you find yourself most at home, most at peace, and most useful? Well, I would suggest from the reading of our text that we should conclude that the most beneficial place that we could be is at the feet of the Savior. That is also a right answer. We are to be a people that are perpetually at the feet of Christ. Here's another question. Are we, though? Are we in that place? Is that the place where we find ourselves? Is this the place where we dwell? Is the feet of Christ some place that finds us in regular attendance? Or must we admit that the feet of Christ is some place I come, maybe not as often as I ought? And I might ask, is the feet of Christ where you may be found tonight as you go through your life, as you go on your spiritual walk? Is the feet of Christ where you are to be found? Well, tonight I would like to encourage you to give strong thought to this question. Do I rest at the feet of Christ? Am I finding there the help for my soul? And while I am encouraging you, I would ask, will you allow your heart to be encouraged tonight with what a poor woman who came to the feet of Christ found? Not about herself, but about her Savior. Will you allow your heart to be encouraged with Christ tonight? You say, what kind of question is that? No, I'm saying this realistically. I am saying this truly and pointedly. Will you purpose in your heart, as we look at the words of this Scripture, that you will find yourselves encouraged with Jesus Christ tonight? I challenge you, make up your mind to do that. You know, you say, well, Mark, you know, that's not something. No, it is something that you can purpose within your heart. I will seek after Christ. I will allow my heart to be encouraged with my Savior tonight. And so I say, I would like to have each of us come to our rightful place tonight. And I say, as I begin this word as my proposition, my point that I would like to prove, and it's very simple. The place of every Christian's good is at the feet of Christ. And I want you to understand that. I want you to learn that tonight. I want you to dwell on that. The place of your good is at the feet of Christ. And we will learn that from this incident that we have here. From what we see of the Savior and how He reacted to this woman. That is here in Luke chapter 7. I've got six things I'm going to point out. Just six simple little things that I would like to have us know and think on concerning being at the feet of Christ. The first thing I want us to see from the Word of God is the chief reason for good. What was the chief reason why this woman received good for her soul? Why is it that she was able to see herself benefited after having come to Christ? Well, I simply would say the chief reason that we shall find good at the feet of Christ is because Christ is there. Christ is there. That sounds sort of obvious. That's sort of a no-brainer, so to speak. Yes, Christ is where His feet are, so to speak. But that's no small thing. The reason why we will, when we seek after the Lord and when we come and present ourselves to the Lord and we come to the feet of Christ, the reason that we will know good is because Christ is there. You notice about this woman who came into the house of Simon the Pharisee. She was not so concerned about how she appeared to others. And you know what else? This is sort of interesting to me. She wasn't even really concerned about how she appeared to herself. What she was concerned with was Christ. She was concerned with getting to the feet of Christ. And she knew good because of it. Our finding good at the feet of Christ depends on how kind Christ is to us when we come. This woman knew this. When I come to the Lord, it is depending upon how He is as to whether I will find good for my soul. Well, how good is Christ? How kind is Christ? How kind is it that we see the Lord Jesus being to this woman? What can we conclude about that? Well, let me just say this. When we think about coming to the feet of Christ, do we not sometimes think about that act, that time, that spiritual activity of coming and seeking the Lord and putting ourselves at the feet of Christ? Do we not think about that as sort of humbling ourselves before the rule of Christ? That we bow before His sovereignty, we acknowledge His kingship, we acknowledge His lordship over us. Do we not sometimes see that as the way in which we approach Him? Well, I would say, yes, that's true. And we might imagine that the place then that we come to when we come to the feet of Christ is a place of judgment. Oh, that's not the truth. I want you to think about this one thought. Be reminded that when you come to the feet of Christ, you come to the feet that also have the wounds of Calvary in them. When you come to Christ, and as it were, you place yourselves at His feet, whether you come in humility or if you come in pain of heart, when you grasp the feet of the Savior, there is the work of Calvary for you. Understand that. You will never come to the feet of Christ and find that there is nothing for you of Christ's work. You will always find the Lord's work of atonement. You'll find there the work of cleansing. You might say, but you know, sometimes when I come to the feet of Christ, I wonder about whether I shall find good because I can scarcely lift my head sometimes when I come before the Lord. Well, I will just seek to encourage you with this thought. When you come to the feet of Christ, the good and the healing of Calvary are close to you. Though you may not be able to lift your head, you are close to that which is your remedy. Indeed, the precious wounds of Christ. I say, the feet of Christ is your rightful place to come as a child of God. It was for this woman, though she could barely, I don't know whether she could even lift her head. You know, there's nothing about this woman that gives us any indication that she could do anything but weep. There's nothing that we read about this woman that says that she could do anything but lift her head just high enough so that the hairs of her head could wipe the feet of Christ. You don't really read of this woman being standing up and walking away. You don't read anything about this woman but the fact that she was humbled at the feet of Christ. But you find that she received good. Why? Because Christ was there. And the ministry that was obtained by Calvary was applied to her. Although the Lord did, yes, before His crucifixion, yet it is true, the Lord still forgave her sins. And He said, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." I say that is the ministry of Calvary for us all. The chief reason for good that this woman found was because Christ was there. Another thought that we can say about our being at the feet of Christ, or another point that I would like to make, is concerns the compassionate response of Christ. The compassionate response of Christ. Well, you know, we might conclude that the Lord will hear me and hear my pleas if I come to His feet for help. But will He really arise at once and help me? Do I know that the Lord will truly undertake, or will He arise and do for me what my soul needs right away? Well, something that we can see from this particular portion of Scripture as well is that when this woman came and she put herself at the feet of Christ, Christ helped her without delay. Do you need the Lord Jesus to do something for you tonight? Honestly, do you need the Lord Jesus to do something for you tonight? And you say, Amen. Oh Lord, I would like to have you come and minister to my heart in this way. But do you think the Lord's going to say, well, that I might be disposed to do that, but you're going to have to wait quite some time? No. That's not the disposition of our Savior. I will say this. Sometimes when the Lord helps us, it may or it may not be in just the way that we look for Him to help us. But He does not delay. He does not turn Himself aside saying, you go away and you come back or you wait. No, the Savior is compassionate. And those that come to the feet of Christ, and I say this with all sincerity, I wish we all might allow our hearts to grasp this. When we come to the feet of Christ, we do not find hardness. We do not find one who stands afar off. Well, we might also say that hand in hand with the truth that the Savior responds without delay is that He is indeed able to be touched. And I will confess here, I was stretching for the letters to coincide for my point, so if you'll allow, I'm going to coin a word here just so I can make everything sort of sound like it's supposed to go together here tonight. I want us to think, thirdly, on the complete reachableness of Christ. I know that's sort of a, you can do it every once in a while and get away with it. So this is my every once in a while. The complete reachableness of Christ. You know, let me ask you this. If you knew that somebody or something, most likely somebody, was going to come and they were going to try to lay hold of your feet, and that person that was going to do that was particularly unlovely, and whatever adjective that you might say that would perhaps disgust you, you can think of whatever person you can, this person just absolutely disgusts you. What would you do when they reached out to grab your feet? I know some of you, you just want to say, I'm not going to play this game. I'm going to say, I'll just sit there. No, you wouldn't either. If you knew somebody that was completely, was reaching out for your feet, you would lift your feet and pull them out of the way. Now, you would too. But I want you to understand the heart of Christ. This woman, of all the people in the city where he was morally, before his eyes, the most disgusting, the worst of sinners. This woman was, to the Pharisees there in the house, absolutely hideous. I'm not trying to just make up. This is what the Scripture is portraying this woman to be. She was a great sinner. She was disgusting. And you know, usually, when people are in great sin and they make a habit of great sin, you can see it all over them. You can see it in their face. You can see it in their demeanor. You can see it in the way they carry themselves. I say there was very little about this woman that was lovely in any way, shape, or form. But here's my point, that when this woman sought the feet of Christ, He did not move His feet. He was touchable by those that needed Him. And tonight, I will simply say this to you. If you find yourself ever in a place where you are helpless, where you are hurting, or where you are full of sin, you have a Savior who will not pull His feet away from you. You may come to those wounded feet. You may come to the place where you can meet with Christ. You may come and find Him. He will not remove Himself. He is completely reachable. This woman found much good because she knew where Christ was. This woman came and found good because she found in Christ one who would respond to her without delay. She found the feet of Christ to be her rightful place because when she came to Christ, she found a Savior that was completely reachable. Then you see something else that is even more amazing about the heart of Christ toward this woman, and that is, and this is my fourth point, Christ's charitable regard of love. Christ looked on this woman's love, this woman's heart, and yes, Christ saw a heart that was tainted. Christ saw a heart that was unlovely. He saw the lovings of this woman for what they were, filled with sin. And yet, he comes to Simon and he utters a parable to Simon that signifies how he looks on even the most unlovely lovings. He says, two debtors, you have one to whom much was forgiven. How does he love? Well, Simon makes the conclusion, well, I guess, Lord, that he's going to love much. The Lord says, there's the point. So I want you to understand then, Simon. What the Lord is saying is this. I want you to understand that I esteem the unlovely lovings of this woman as much love. Really? Do you mean that I then can conclude that when I come before Christ and my lovings of my Savior are tainted and filled with self and are imperfect and impure and full of who knows what from the depths of my heart, that my Savior will still see my tainted lovings when I come to His feet and seek to embrace Him as love for Himself? Yeah. That's my conclusion. I think that's a conclusion that we all can take. And I say there's an encouragement there. There is encouragement for your heart. Because the devil will look at your lovings and go, wow, what is this? What is this? You call this love for Christ? You call this devotion to Christ? You're going to love Christ in this way? How he will hate it. No. Here is the thoughts of Christ. The one that comes to me and offers the love of their heart at my feet. Though this one is looked on by everyone else in the whole place, in the whole city, in the whole country as being one who is altogether unlovely, yet I consider the lovings of this one much love. I want your heart to be encouraged with that tonight. I want you to think about that tonight. I want you to look at your own heart tonight. And I want to challenge you tonight. Love Christ. You might say, well, brother, you know, I'm not prepared to love Christ. I say, love Christ. But you don't understand, there may be things I have to get right with Christ. Love Christ. Why am I saying this? Because Christ looks at the love of those that come to His feet, to the rightful place. And He considers it much love. Much love. I have a fifth point, and that is the mind of the Savior concerning the worship of this woman. And so I would say that here we see also the considerate respect of worship. Christ considers the worship of this woman, and He has respect for it, respect unto it. This woman, though, comes in a way in which all the others in the room, can you imagine this? Everybody else in that whole room looks at what this woman is doing and they say, this is totally inappropriate. This is wrong. This woman is coming in here and she is doing something that is just not only inappropriate, but it's senseless. Look at what she's doing. She's offering up this ointment. This is costly stuff. She doesn't. This is inappropriate worship. You know, there are some today who are so rigid in their minds about what worship is that unless you follow their formula, you cross their T's and dot their I's just exactly so, they'll say, well, you are in inappropriate worship. I'm not going to go down that road. Most of those fellows who believe that kind of thing are in our own circles, not Free Presbyterian, but those that we would call Reformed. You have to have this if you're going to have worship. No, I'm sorry. I beg to differ. What you have to have in order to have proper worship is a regard for the Son of God, a love for Jesus Christ, and a desire to put yourself at His feet. I say that is the essence of worship. And I'm afraid for these same people who would criticize us, perhaps, or others, on the grounds of inappropriate worship, know very little about having proper regard for the Son of God. I say there is much that smacks about Phariseeism of them, because that's exactly the way the Pharisees were. This woman comes and she worships Christ. She gives her heart to Christ. And Christ can see her shortcomings. He can see her life. And yet He takes the worship and He owns it. This woman. This sinful woman. In an inappropriate fashion. She doesn't, listen, she doesn't sing the doxology. She doesn't repeat any creed. She doesn't she doesn't do all these different things. What does the woman do? She comes in, she weeps. She pours her tears upon the feet of Christ and she wipes His feet with her hair. Now that is different from any kind of worship service I've ever seen, and yet Christ says she is doing a good work. It is rightful worship. I am simply making this point. When you pour out your heart to Christ, when you come, as it were, and you simply put yourself at the feet of Christ, and you worship Him, although it may be tainted, although it may be that which is senseless to some, Christ will own it. Christ will own that. My last thought. What's the consequent reward of coming? When we come to the feet of Christ, what may we expect? What may we find? Well, this woman was rewarded for having been at the feet of Christ. She has two things that the Scripture says she received. And very simple. First, she received the needed ministry of the Lord. What did this woman need? This woman came, she put herself at the feet of Christ. She had a need. You know what? She didn't even say what her need was. Now, there ought to be a clue. Sometimes we can come before the Lord, and you know what? We don't even ever sometimes have to enumerate the things that our heart needs. The Lord knows them, and the Lord goes straight to them. You ever known that? You ever had a time when you were in a service or something, or sometime in the Word, and you were just praying, "Oh Lord, speak to my heart," and all of a sudden, the Lord puts His finger right on something and says, "Oh, I wasn't really wanting to have to deal with that right now. Ooh, that's something that, you know, I'm not real comfortable having to deal with, Lord." And the Lord puts His finger right on. You know, the Lord sees what ministry we need. If we put ourselves at His feet, indeed the witness is that we shall obtain the needed ministry. What was the ministry that this woman needed? She needed forgiveness. She needed cleansing. She was a wicked sinner. She needed to be cleansed by the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And she has that Lamb with His own mouth reading to her His verdict. Thy sins are forgiven. Do you need the ministry of Christ? I'm not saying it's just for forgiveness. Some of us do need that ministry. Some of us need a different sort of ministry from the hand of the Lord. And oftentimes we have that on our hearts when we come. And sometimes we need that ministry and we're not even able to utter it before the throne. The Lord can see clean down into the heart. And the Lord, though, when we place ourselves in that place, He says, I will minister. You come to my feet, you will find me there. I will be good, I will be kind, I will be touched. I will receive, I will love, and I will help. She received the needed ministry. But also as part of her reward for coming to the feet of Christ, she received the superabounding blessing of the Lord. Here's a question. What do you really feel, or what would you think that the woman might have expected to be the state of her heart when she left that place? Well, I don't know. Maybe, I'm trying to put myself in that position. I may have come and thrown myself down at the feet of Christ, and I would just have hoped for some measure of respite from my guilt. I don't know whether it would have been all gone, but at least I have admitted my sin to the Lord. I put myself at His feet. I don't know what I would have received, really. But to hear the voice of the Son of God say, go in peace. Oh, what a thing that is. A superabounding blessing, more than this woman could probably ever have thought she would have received from the Lord. To know that the heart of Christ is at peace with me. Now there is a treasure. There is a blessing that cannot be measured. Go in peace. I say, if you come to the feet of Christ tonight and you present yourself, you will find Christ ministering to you in the way you need. But you'll also find that He goes far and above what your need is. He'll do more for you than what you would ever expect. He'll bless you. He'll bless you. Do you need the peace? Well, you can find peace. You can find all sorts of things. The Lord will bless you with things that you perhaps were not even imagining could possibly be yours. But what's the key of it all? What are we coming back to? What's the thought of it all? These are things found at the feet of Christ. That's the point. We find these things at the feet of Christ. And you know what else? And I conclude with this thought. As I started, my statement was, this is our rightful place. This is the place where you have a right to come. You're not coming impinging upon the Son of God when you come to His feet. Because He stands open with His arms to you and says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is your rightful place to come to the feet of the Savior. Tonight, my challenge is simply this. Take a consideration of your heart. Take a consideration of where you are spiritually. Will you take that, wherever it is, whatever your need may be, whatever you would hope to see the Lord be doing, will you bring it to the feet of Christ? Will you bring your heart to the feet of Christ tonight? I can say categorically, if you will come to Christ, you will find Him to be to you as He was to this woman. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Will you come and put your heart and your soul at the feet of Christ and let Him do you good? Well, amen. May the Lord give us all grace that we would find ourselves ready and swift to do so. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we do thank Thee for Thy Word this night. We're thankful, O God, that it shows us the heart of Jesus Christ. We're thankful, O Lord, that we can have an expectation of His ministry and more than that, of His blessing. Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt encourage us by the Spirit of God to come and to lay hold of our Savior's feet, to stay until we hear the word of Christ to our hearts. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt remember each one now that is in this place. Oh God, remember Thy people. Remember how they need Thee. Remember how indeed they would desire to walk with Thee. Lord, come and allow now the encouragement of Thy Word to take root. And Lord, let it indeed draw us all to Thy feet, that we may find good and help and blessing. Lord, now dismiss us with Thy blessing. Keep us close to Thee, we ask, by the power of the Spirit of God. And we do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.